for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole latte da. You do the Zumba but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning, Tedline. Father God, we come before you this morning in a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. Thanking you for all of your goodness. Thanking you for all of your kindness that you have extended towards us. Thanking you, Lord God, because you're God all by yourself. Hallelujah. Great is the mystery of godliness. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Oh, God. And the really beautiful thing is that you live in each and every one of us that will allow you. And that, oh, God, your lordship reigns in us if we allow you. So this morning, as we come before you, thanking you, because your word says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested or revealed to destroy the works of the devil. We thank you, Lord God, that you heal us physically, that you restore our soul and you heal and restore our spirit, our soul, and our body. We thank you that you heal us from the inside to the outside and that you deliver us from evil. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness this morning. I bind up spirits of witchcraft. I bind up the power of witches. I bind up all generational, inherited, cultural witchcraft intentions. And this morning, I say that Jesus is Lord again, as usual. And I thank you for that lordship, Father. Thank you for it. Headline, day 31. Of this 40-day fast. I know some people on this deadline that are going through another fast along with this one, which is 70 days. But I'm just thanking God for making it through the 40 in Jesus' name. And I think this is our second 40-day fast this year, because we did the other one in the beginning of the year, which is going to make it a total of 80 days. I think that's just marvelous. I know God's going to take and accept this sacrifice as a offering unto him. Headline, it's been some really unusual spiritual going on. And what I want to do this morning, I would like to get some testimonies. The Bible says we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. God himself in the person of his son Jesus and by the power of his own Holy Spirit is in the process of making us overcomers. Some of you have overcome many, many obstacles before. But right now it just seems like different kind of supernatural manifestations are taking place. So yesterday, I know Blog Talk was working on the Blog Talk without telling anybody, so nobody and everybody in the morning had a problem. They couldn't get on the Blog Talk. We just went on with the Spreaker. If you didn't, I would like for you to hear the testimony of the young millennial that just left yesterday going back to Los Angeles, California. And I got some wonderful emails from other Kidliners that told me about their millennials, too. I think we ought to hold a prayer day. Plus, I want to do I'm going to do a nighttime prayer vigil. Now, a lot of you have gotten your letters back. I want you to mail them back to me now, unopened. I want you to mail them to me, and here's the address. The address is 201A Crawford Street, Dalton, Georgia, 30720. I'm going to give you that address again in a minute. When I get them, I'm going to go out today or tomorrow and get me a hotspot link thing or whatever that is you can broadcast. I mean, that I can use, because I'm going to hold a prayer meeting on the top of the mountain, and I'm going to use that to do it with on my laptop. I'll take my laptop so that we can all pray together from the top of the mountain. And then I'm going to mail it back to you unopened. So the airways will have made a full circuitry. On top of that, when I mail it back to you, I bought 200 handheld little crosses. And I was going to send them out as Christmas presents. But the Lord told me to take those crosses and dump the oil from the Bible all over the crosses. And Brother Joe and I did that. And we mixed the oil up on all the crosses. And the crosses are sitting in the room. What I'm going to do as a point of contact, when I mail you your envelope back, I'm going to mail you one of those little handheld crosses. Okay? And that is going to be your point of contact from the mountaintop and from that prayer. And I want you to keep that little cross. It's a handheld cross. I don't know if you've ever seen a handheld cross. Is that they're about as big as your hand. And you just hold it in your hand. So what you're going to do, you're going to mail me. And you know what else I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to put $1 in there. I did that before to get by faith to get your money flowing back to you. So I'm going to send you the little handheld cross. And if I don't run out of money, I'll send you a dollar. I'm going to go get some new dollars from the bank. because I want your flow to flow for real. This is not a joke with me. And I was reminded of it by a headliner who's helping me edit my books, edit one book anyway. I can't impose on her. I mean, I could have her editing 100 books, but she edited the one with the Holy Spirit, God's own Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And so she sent me a paragraph to redo. And don't you know the paragraph that she sent me to edit was the one that said that I spent 2 years destroying the power of mammon. And then when I finished it, God revealed to me that mammon was the spirit of the world. And that God used that to remind me to get the letters back. Don't open them. Take them up to the mountain. We are going to pray. And then he told me, I told you to order those crosses, not for Christmas. No such thing. I want you to put those in the hands of the prayer warriors now. So I'm going to mail your envelope back to you after we have prayed over them up in the mountain, and I'm going to send you a handheld cross. Well, Joe, can you get me one of those little crosses? And maybe get the whole bag. I only have 200. No, I don't even have 200 now because I gave some away yesterday when people came. If you got Roku or if you got YouTube, this is the bag. I'm tilting the bag up. You can see it's 198 left handheld cross. But I bought these for you all as a point of contact. And this is what the little handheld crosses look like. You just hold them in your hand as a point of contact. So I have 198, but I asked Susan for some oil, and she gave me some oil. She gave me several vials, and I poured them all over the crosses as a point of contact, and I want to give them to you, okay? I want you to have one. It's just like that. You just hold it in your hand as a point of contact. And what happens is your anointing will penetrate because they're solid wood. I broke the spirit off of them because they were made in China. Okay? So I broke that off of them, and I'm praying over them every day to be a blessing to you just as a point of contact. And if you put on the envelope, but I only have 198. I might be able to send some of you maybe two, but I don't think I could. Unless you're a headliner. If you're a headliner, you'll get one. Okay, so please get those in as soon as possible because I really want to go up. I want to get the flow flowing, and I want to get the flow flowing right away. I'll try to go and get some dollars so that I can send you a dollar. It's not the fact that it's a dollar, it's the fact that it's money, and it's to get the flow back to you. Okay? You're going to mail it to 201 in parentheses A, Crawford Street, Dalton, Georgia, 3-0-7-2-0. And they're a good point of contact of faith for the sick also, just to build their faith. So I don't know. Maybe I'll order 200 more. I used to use the little wooden one, okay? If you already sent it to the P.O. box, that's okay. I'll get it. I hope you didn't send it to my house. I'll get it to my house, too, but it will be the last thing coming. They don't even deliver mail to my house until 6 in the evening. Okay? So the sooner you can mail that back to me, the sooner we can go up on the mountain and pray, and the sooner I can get your little cross as a point of contact back to you. These, I really, really like these much better than the little wooden ones I used to give. And I used to give bracelets. I used to send people bracelets just as a point of contact for faith. Build your faith. That's all it's for. But I really like these. She ordered them for me from her source. And I bought hundreds, and I may buy hundreds more. But for right now, my objective, I was thinking about a Christmas gift. And all of you that Jessica does not have your name, address, telephone number, and email address, would you please send that to her? I don't know how you, thank you. I really like it. I really like it. I really love it, as a matter of fact. And the beautiful thing is that when I first ordered this, you know, I like to do things like that ahead of time, so I have them. The lady told Susan that there's no way that she could get them here to Grace by Christmas. Well, I want to tell you something. This was a God idea that told me to do this. These crosses came in last week. After the lady said there's no way she could get them to me by Christmas, Susan called up and said, guess what? What? She said, your crosses are here. I was so happy. I am so happy. Then the Lord said, yeah, they had to come because I want you to mail these crosses back when you mail those letters back. I'm not going to open your letters because this is a God thing. It's a faith thing. God knows what's in every letter. And I want you to have your faith and your assurance in God's ability as God to answer that for you. You're going to see God move. Some of you are seeing him move now, and you're seeing him move in unusual ways. But brothers and sisters, my intent is for Ted Line to be a blessing to you, and you to walk in the blessings of God, which they're hard to walk in if you don't know that. So sometimes a little faith booster help. Just a little faith booster. So this is just a little faith booster. But I'm serious about taking over these airways. I'm not kidding about that. I'm serious about doing warfare in the spirit realm and defeating God's enemies in the spirit realm. Because we have declared God's enemies to be our enemies. And we have declared thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, again, if you don't mind, and if I know, if your child is known to the deadline, put your child's name. I want to send a number of faith cross too. Just a faith booster. All right. So we got all that clear. And I can't believe that old Blog Talk is working pretty good this morning after yesterday's fiasco. So I want to bind chaos. I want to bind chaos spirits. I want to bind witchcraft confusion. I want to bind really and truly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit mentioned to me, let me see if I can pull it up. As we were riding in this morning, the Holy Spirit mentioned that little book, and he brought it back up, and I'm not certain why, other than the fact that hindering spirits are in operation, and hindering spirits are manifesting, because I woke up early. Let me see if it's on here. Hindering spirits. Yeah, here it is. I have a book, a little booklet. And the Lord spoke that word to me this morning, hindering spirits. And let's see which one is in here. Hindering spirit. Now, I know I have taught on this before, but for some of you that may not have been on here, I got to tell you that too. I'm going to go through this again with these hindering spirits, because obviously, a lot of hindering spirits are manifesting, trying to block you. And maybe that's why God has us doing this through the airways. This has been a very unusual 40-day fast, to say the least. So I don't exactly know what God is doing. I'm just following. But I do know that whatever it is, we're going to be blessed. But God spoke that word to me this morning, hindering spirits. And let me see, where did I just put it? I think this morning, I didn't put, okay, let's see. God wants us to come against hindering spirits. Is there anybody on here that can give me a testimony of how hindering spirits, give me the last four or text me, 843-217-2246, and I want to hear from you if you're being hindered, if you feel like hindering spirits are attacking you, or if you feel like hindering spirits are manifesting. I'm telling you, for God to speak audibly to me, hindering spirits, something is happening. I know I'm getting ready to bind them in my own life. Praise God. So if there's anybody, or you're on the Blog Talk, if you're on the Blog Talk, just give me your last four hindering spirits. I'm going over to the oil this morning for a bit. You know, they have the prayer meeting every Tuesday. So this morning, I'm going over, and I'm going to sit in the church, and I'm just going to be binding and rebuking hindering spirits, because God spoke them out. Because we are tearing down, okay? Believe you me, the stuff that's happening, the devil is mad. And whenever the devil is mad, I am happy, because I know we hitting them with the right blows. Now, we can't kill him. Michael got to do that. Michael got to do that. But we can stop him. You can stop him. You can stop him. He's been manifesting altars. I've been talking to people, and all of a sudden their voice changed 5 times on me. And I'm thinking, who am I talking to here? People I didn't even know had altars. They've been manifesting. People, I've been getting calls from overseas. And I don't know why they feel like they're having to tell me their lineage. But they are, you know. So God is really moving, brothers and sisters. I'm working on the manipulation. I'm working on the gateways. And I'm working on the bloodline curses. So don't think that if I mention something to you and don't talk about it, it's just dead. It's not. I'm working on it because, see, I have to be able to put the word of God on this thing, or else it doesn't matter to me. If I can't back it with the word of God, it's not real to me. You understand what I'm saying? If I cannot prove its existence through the word of God and show how God handled it, then I don't use it. So the thing that those guys from Germany gave me had no word to it. So as far as I'm concerned, it's not real. It's not real in spiritual warfare. And so, well, why would you say that, Erica? I say it for this reason right here. When David was gonna had verbalized that he was gonna go and deal with Goliath, and Saul tried to give David his armor, David said, I can't use this. It ain't been proven by me. It hasn't been made valid by me. And brothers and sisters, that's the way you should conduct your spiritual warfare. If a weapon hasn't been proven to work for you, why would you use it? The truth being, you don't know how to use it. The only way you know how to use these weapons of spiritual warfare and how to use them effectively is to use them. Not against people either. Because when you start using God's stuff about people, on people, you practice in witchcraft. And if you practice witchcraft on a child of God, woe be unto you. You're going to pay the consequences of that. And a lot of people out here doing stuff, they don't believe that there are consequences. They believe that they can do this witchcraft stuff and they can do pretty much what they think they want to do because they think they're getting away with it because God don't deal with them in it instantly. But oh boy. Oh boy. It comes back. And when it comes back, it's not pleasant. So why are you saying that? Because judgment has begun in the house of the Lord already. It's already started. It started when you start hearing all them preachers committing suicide and stuff. It started when you start seeing so many Christian marriages wrecked. It started when a witch could get up and say, I'm a Christian witch, which is absolutely blasphemous. And then get a bunch of thousands of followers. It's insane. But you know what? You know what? Our God. Now, hear me when I say this and understand where I'm coming from. Our God brought order out of chaos. Did you hear me? Our God brought order out of chaos. Well, where is that at, Erica? Don't tell me you don't know that. That's Genesis chapter 1, period. God brought order out of chaos. And God can bring order in chaos. So you got a whole bunch of people running around here using chaos witchcraft on people. They come in and they stir up more whirlwinds, more thunder and lightning. And you know what? This is the way you're going to have to handle that, brothers and sisters. You're going to have to handle that in peace. Are you hearing me this morning? A member of a Ted Bundy's own family said, this is what they taught me at my church. I must bring disorder. I must bring chaos. And I said to myself, Jesus. So that's the kind of witchcraft Satan done tricked people into doing in the church. I got to bring fear so I can then step in with chaos. So then I can step in with confusion witchcraft. No. And then I remembered way back when my father in the Lord told me, he said, the biblical example is Moses. Remember when God told Moses to speak to the rock? Well, the people around Moses created so much chaos. You know another manifestation of chaos? Pressure. They brought so much pressure to bear on Moses that Moses did what he thought he knew to do, but that was not the new thing that God was telling him to do. You see, brothers and sisters, God will tell you to do something in 2010. God will tell you to do something in 2010 that worked perfectly in 2010. And then in 2019, he'll tell you to do something that almost is like what he told you to do in 2010, but it'll be one difference. And that one difference will make all the difference in the world today, right now. And that's why it's so important that your listening skills are at their top, right now. You can hear good because you're on this fast. And your listening skills should be at their peak. And make sure you hear. I went through a whole ministry, almost several hours, with two people who thought that they were at odds with each other. They thought they had a problem, and they thought that this problem was going right to divorce court. But one member of that marriage could hear from God and said, no, this cannot happen. The only problem they had is that they were talking at each other and they weren't talking to each other. And this is why, brothers and sisters, when I'm talking to you, I will say, what did you say? Now, what did you mean by what you said? Because this is what you said. And what they will have said is not what they meant. But Satan will take what you say and turn it into a whole chaotic, confusing fiasco. Because he loves to operate He operates through chaos. He operates through confusion. He operates through calamity. Because you know what? The Bible talks about the peace of God, the shalom of God. It's a blessing. I got a little, somebody asked me, or they asked Jessica, sent Jessica an email about a couple of books I've written. Some of that stuff, I have to find it either on the computer or Brother Joe archives a lot of stuff I write. But they wanted to know about that little book I wrote on Born a Witch and Not Know It. How you could be born a witch and not know it. And it was something else they wanted. And you know what else? A little book that I wrote back in the 90s is still being floated around on Demon Busters and JesusIsLord.com and a whole lot of other websites. And they don't know I wrote it on Incubus and Succubus. Because at that time, I think I put my name to it, yeah. But I see now it's being revived through the internet. And Brother Joe showed me how many people on their websites have that information. I was amazed. So Jessica, I'm going to find the book that I wrote, Born a Witch and Not Know It, so you could send it to that lady that asked you for it. And I forget what the other one was she asked you about. Brothers and sisters, I am happy. I'm happy that things I wrote 20, 30 years ago, God is using them now. He's using them now. Yes, hindrance is popping up in everything around me right now. Yeah, well, that's kind of normal. You should expect it. You should expect it. You should expect that you coming up on what day of the fast is this? 31? It's the 31st day, I think. It's going to get worse. Did you hear what I just told you? It's going to get worse. Believe me. The closer it gets to the 40th day, it's going to get worse. Suck it up. Go through. God is making you. I told you God brought order out of chaos. And God is going to bring order in your life. But you're going to have to, you know what? You're going to have some backbone in this one. Okay, 3991, got a testimony about hindering spirits. Let's hear it. The mic is open, brother.
Good morning, sister. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, whew. Yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit first. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your own Holy Spirit for doing what we cannot do for ourselves. When we realize we're powerless, Lord, and that you're in control, and when we obey and submit and subject ourselves to you, that's when we truly live and have our being and everything that you design us to be. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in your name. I want to start off with Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. I'll give you all a moment to get there. I want to share this scripture because it addresses the hindering spirit, okay? And most of you probably remember this. So I'll give you another moment, then I'm going to read this real quick, and then I'll share the testimony. All right, Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, out of the King James Version. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So, most of you remember that the angel of God that was sent was delayed, right? And remember, this is during the Babylonian captivity as well. All right, so just giving context, now for the testimony. Last night, I worked with another fellow TED liner by the name of Natasha Bakar. She leads a ministry called The Way of the Righteous. We are in the 10 days of awe as part of Rosh Hashanah leading up to Yom Kippur. So my job last night in supporting her was to read the Rosh Hashanah prayer, which is out of Daniel chapter 4. Wouldn't you know, 5 minutes before this happened, I went to go get some water, and immediately I had vertigo. I mean, I was dizzy, but my balance was off, and I was sweating and nauseous. I'm like, what is going on? And then I realized that with the time, it's like it's right before we're supposed to go on for day two of this portion of the teaching. And I got here, and then Tasha and I were trying to work out communication because we use Zoom to do the video conferencing. And I'm sitting here, and so she calls me up, and we're having a conversation. I go, girl, I'm not feeling good at all. I mean, I'm nauseous. I'm ready to throw up. I'm sweating. I'm dizzy. I couldn't even focus. The room was spinning around. I've never experienced that in my life. Then, of course, immediately, the natural part of me wants to go to the hospital. But I'm sitting there and go, wait a minute. Something's trying to take me off task and off mission. And no, Satan, you're not going to do that. So immediately binding up and casting out that hindering spirit from the pit of hell itself. And still physically, the dizziness and the nausea is still there and the sweating. So I just sort of says, listen, I'm going to be on the line with you guys. My video and audio will be muted, but I will be there with you, and I'm going to listen. So Tasha, she proceeds on with the teaching. And it was wonderful. And it's on forgiveness, which can be a hindrance, right? So, So anyways, as she's going through, she finishes up the teaching, and then there's a prayer that she does. It's a combination of healing and deliverance. Sister Erica, I got to tell you, I felt the hand of Jesus all over me, on top, in between, inside. By the end of that prayer, I was healed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. He's real, people.
He's real.
Thanks.
And we need to get real. And I am in agreement with Sister Erica. It's going to get worse. Don't expect this to be the smooth road. Uh-uh. But we were calling for such a time as this. Right now, we got to fight. Stand and fight. Don't back down. Because what we stand on is holy ground, because the kingdom of God in heaven is within us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister.
Don't back down. Is that what you said? Don't back down.
Yes, ma'am.
Do not back down. You got to look the enemy in the face and go forward.
Yes.
But the other thing that is, that attack that you went through came from somebody.
Right.
Okay. God will tell you who it was, and you got to deal with that. Because that enemy has got to be brought down.
Right.
However, that lets you know that, see, Satan uses people, but God uses people too. And God used Natasha to thwart the enemy's plan and tear it up.
Amen.
I love it.
Hallelujah.
I love it.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, Lord. I love it. Brothers and sisters, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, understand something. Listen, I'm not ashamed to tell you, people going to shoot at y'all that are shooting at me.
Thank God for the armor.
They going to shoot at you because they're shooting at me.
Right. Mm.
And they figure that, oh, man, you're on the 10 line. You dumb. You stupid. You're sitting under hysterics. Oh, my God. Don't you know that's the worst thing you could be doing? Bam. I am dangerous.
That's it. We're targets.
I'm glad
we're marked.
About it. I'm
That's
dangerous.
It. Me too.
You got to pray
Amen.
Double just for hanging around me. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
But you ain't got to do nothing to get hit. Just hang around me. You will be a target. But you will win.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. I'm glad to hear that praise report.
Yes, praise the Lord, sister. And I thank you.
And you know what? I might not go through the book. I might just put the book up. I took down about 10 websites this weekend, this week. And I'm going to take some more down. I took down pages off the deadline. I'm about to put up a whole new website for the TED Lines, but I'll post the Hindering Spirits book, if you want it, on the Fight Club, because this little book right here, a well-known minister took this little book right here and wrote a book and made a lot of money on it, because I wrote this Hindering Spirits way back. And it's probably up there already, but I don't know where it is. It might have been when I did an Omega Man, or it might have been one of my own, because I found about 50 podcasts that I did on my private line that had never been public. Never been public. And they're all on spiritual warfare. And they're all on... Yeah. So anyway, look, win. Don't just fight. Win. Because you fighting this battle for yourself. Jesus has already won.
Okay. You're
fighting it for your place, that you occupying. And stop going backwards. Stop going backwards. You can't go forward going backwards. Stop fighting change. Stop fighting God. And we got to pray more. We just got to pray more. I realized I fought one demon for 2 years every day, mammon. And brothers and sisters, I overcame that thing. And I had a bunch of people fighting with me. But you know the thing about people? People are lazy. People are so inclined to this microwave, put it in 3 minutes. It don't work like that with God. You have to put it in, and you got to cut up the time on it until it's fully done, and that is determined by God.
Okay.
And not by you. And as long as you think that you are the determining factor, you're not going to get anywhere with God. As long as you think that you know everything that God knows, you're not going to get anywhere with God. But you're going to have to humble yourself. Like that little girl, that young millennial, came to Jesus just like a little child. And she had a relationship with him. And every time she comes to him, it's the same way. She comes to him in expectation. She comes to him fully surrendered and yielded. That's why ministry is so good. That's why winning the loss is so good. You'll never get stale. You will never get stale when you win the loss. Ministry will never become dull to you when you are getting people saved, healed, and delivered. Go Romans chapter 10. Jessica, can you post this for me? Romans chapter 10, start at verse 8 through verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 14. Can somebody post that up here? Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 14. It reads like this: "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Did you get that? Whosoever believeth on Jesus, believeth on God, believeth on God, on God's own Holy Spirit, shall not be ashamed. I love that part right there. When I used to minister to the drug addicts and sex addicts and people with serious addiction, this is where I focus. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no distance between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And you know I do my deliverance off this scripture right here. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Brothers and sisters, can you post that for me? 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's really simple. It's really simple. You have an enemy. His name is Lucifer, who became Satan, who became the devil, who became Beelzebub, who became Leviathan, who became Abaddon, who became Apollyon, who became pride, and every other evil thing that is in existence. And that enemy will work through your dog to bite you, if he can make him bite you. This lady sent me, this other deliverance minister, who said I could go up to her cabin up in the mountains by a lake and pray. She sent me a picture when she got back up to her cabin, lake house. They had put down an orchid snake catching. And they had this big old snake caught in the trap. And she put in the email she sent me, the snake has been caught. I'm going to post that on one of my websites. Because I loved when I saw that snake. I said, oh, that's how Orkin catch them snakes. They had called Orkin to their lake house. And the orchid snake thing worked. And I got the picture of this big old snake caught in this orchid trap with the thing, the snake has been caught. The snake has been caught and caged And you know what else? That orchid thing looked like it catches it, and then it just dies because it's caught and it can't get any nourishment or sustenance. And let me tell you something else that happened yesterday. I prayed with a lady. Remember I told you I met this lady and her family here from the same town I was a missionary in, only further down the mountain. And they live in civilization. I was up there in no civilization, but from Honduras. And they came over yesterday because I had told them to come over for prayer. And I had three generations of them. I had the mama, the daughter, and the granddaughter. The granddaughter's 15. And I looked at the lady's legs. I was just looking. She was sitting down. She's short. So her legs couldn't touch the bottom of the carpet. And I looked again, and I said, oh, my God, Morgellons. And I said, what is that on your legs? She said, something bit me. And it itches, and I scratch, and everywhere I scratch. And I said, let me see that. She said, it's all over my back. She said, it's on my arms. She said, it's on my buttocks. I said to her, I said, is it on your buttocks? She said, yeah. I said, let's go in the restroom. I want to see this. Brothers and sisters, she had all those lesions. From guess what? Parasites. And I told her what it was, and she told me she went to the doctor, and I took her to my website on Parasites Deliverance. And everything that I had on that website is what the doctor had told her, anxiety and depression. And they gave her medicine for that. I said, you're not depressed, are you? She said, no. She said, but the doctor said this is, I said, well, what the doctor was saying is the same thing the CDC say, that this doesn't exist. So one day this week, I prayed with her, and I gave her some of that soap I have, some soap that I have, because the person that I was working with the parasites, I'm not working with them so much anymore. We worked until we worked out modality, what to do for that. And it works. It works. So I want to put it together. And I've got some more research from Jose. And I'm going to put that up on my website about those parasites. But I've got to really, really, really work with that. God brought it and put it in my face yesterday. And when I saw this lady's body, I wanted to cry. And then I thought about this other minister. And I thought about what her body looked like. And she sent me some pictures. And I almost... You know, it's almost unbelievable what these things do to a person's body. And then they told me that it's on the dog. And so the lady said that she got it from the dog. And I said, no, the dog got it from you. And that's what had happened. So I got to really, really focus on that. And I have an opportunity to pray with this lady and work with this lady from zero, like from yesterday. And I want to see God clear it all the way up. I want to work it all the way through to her healing, And then I know it's too is two doctors I want to contact. One is not a doctor. One is just somebody that had that Morgellons, and the other one is he says that these parasites are demons, and I want to prove to him that they are demons, but he's going to have to cut his New Age stuff loose because that's not going to help. It's going to take deliverance, and it's going to take some outside products to heal the skin, because it damages the skin bad. And I got this other lady up in New Jersey that she and all her children are about to, they're about to go crazy. They're about to go crazy from these parasites. And probably more people too that I haven't responded or haven't had time. We're going into 5780. We're into 5780. And it has been very interesting already. That's the only word I can use, interesting. But you got to fight. You got to win. You got to do whatever it takes for you to help yourself. And then you can help somebody else. But if I were you, I would concentrate on getting myself healed, getting myself delivered, so that the battle, you see, you could fight demons toe up. But if you step out to fight demons toe up, everybody you try to help is going to present an opposition for you. And if you can't overcome their opposition while you fight your opposition, then you're going to be double tied up. And they may even get free. But you're the one going to be messed up, because you can't enter into spiritual warfare without initiating a fight against the demons that have the people bound that you're trying to help. So a wounded soldier ought to get healed before they try to go into battle and help somebody else. That's all I'm trying to tell you. It'll be better for you if you do it that way. It'll be way better. And if you're not willing to change yourself, don't even go. Because it's going to require some change. The whole purpose of getting strong in the Lord is to bring about change. You hear me? That's the whole purpose. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor that you might what? Stand. Having done all to stand and still stand. You got some people out here, they're not standing, but they pretend like they're going to teach you how to stand. If they can't stand, how can they help you stand? If they're not standing, how can they help you stand? You don't go to a blind optometrist. You don't go to a blind optometrist to learn how to see. It don't work. You go to a full-sighted doctor. You need to get healed. I can give you case after case of people who tried to help people. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'm telling you, it can be done a lot better if you get healed first. It It takes two men to carry a dead man. Two men. I learned that with that medevac team. Those two men would be better off fighting in the war. I will see you tomorrow on this headline. 5780 is here. I'm going over to the oil this morning. I'm going to be praying for each and every headliner. Each and every headliner. You see, God got the answer. That's the only way I'm going to leave it right there. God has the answer. He is the answer. And there's some things he cures. Did we pray with the lady with the Morgellons? Morgellons? Yeah. Did I pray with the lady that the parasites had eaten up her stomach? Yeah. Did I pray with the lady that the parasites had made her private part look like rotten meat? Yeah. But Jesus is the healer. He has the cure, and it's permanent. I'm going for permanent, not a temporary fix. Because our God is able. He's able to do abundantly above all we could think or even desire. And he wants to do it, and he will. The answer is back there in Romans. Believe with your heart. And confessing with your mouth. There's the answer. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or as it says over there in Joel, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Aren't you ready for change? I know I am. I am. Worrying ain't going to get you nothing but more worry and doubt and unbelief. That's all it's going to get you. Stop worrying and start moving. That other little book I got, I try to get that up there too. You've been set up for a miracle. Jeremiah 33:1. Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Listen. If God says, I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know of in Jeremiah 33:1, that ought to explain to you, no matter how much you think you know God, God got things that you don't know of. And he specializes in impossible situations and delights in giving us miracles. God has a miracle for every crisis. The entire earthly life of Jesus Christ was miraculous. Impossible things in Jesus' life were a regular occurrence from his birth to his death. To his resurrection, the miraculous overflow God is looking in on your faith. And he just want to catch you in the act of believing him and his word. That's what's happening. Post that in the chat room. God is looking in on your faith during this fast. And he's trying to catch you in the act of believing him and his word. Can you prove that, Erica? Uh-huh. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. When the Bible says everything is possible for him who believes, it uses a verb tense, meaning caught in the act of believing God. You see, brothers and sisters, when Jesus did miracles, it just happened. There was no violins playing. There was no praise and worship team. There was no music. Because Jesus' miracles weren't planned or orchestrated by man, but they had been planned and orchestrated by God. God simply caught people in the act of believing him. Stop. Stop trying to think it through and reason it out. Stop thinking that you have to do something. Just believe. Just believe. All miracles start and end with faith in God. It's by your faith you stand. It's by your faith you walk. It's by your faith you're supposed to abound. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. The Bible also says that faith without works is dead. Revelation chapter 14. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. It's your own faith. It's your own faith. In the middle of your situation, God is asking you something. Do you really think your problem or your situation is too hard for me to fix? Do you really believe that I can work it out for you, even though you think it's impossible? Your answer has to be, yes, Lord Jesus, I do believe. I do believe. I do believe. I want you to do a little exercise with me this morning as we begin to close the 10 miles. For the next 3 minutes, I want you to bow your head and I want you to call upon the name of Jesus. Just for 3 minutes. Out of your heart, I want you to release your soul to call upon the name of Jesus. I want you to allow your heart to call upon the name of Jesus. I want you to let your mind call upon the name of Jesus. I want you to surrender your will to God to call upon the name of Jesus. And what's going to happen is your body going to come in line with your heart. Your body is going to come in line with your mind. Your body is going to come in line with your will, calling upon the name of Jesus. Jesus, the King of Glory, Jesus, the power of God, will come in and begin to rule and establish his lordship within your heart, within your mind, within your will and your body. Jesus, the King, will reestablish his kingdom within you. Now, I want you to be aware of something. The moment you do this, an evil spiritual force is going to try to tell you it's not real, it's not so, it's too late. This evil spiritual force is called negativity, doubt, and unbelief. And if you let it rest for even one split second, you have just killed your own blessing. You've just received a fatal wound to your blessing. Wounded by the destroyer of the supernatural spiritual force of faith. So can we do that this morning? Jesus. 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Jesus. Out of your heart, call upon the name of Jesus. Out of your mind, call upon the name of Jesus. Bring your spirit, your soul, your body in agreement with each other. Call it upon the name of Jesus. 3 minutes, okay? Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Lord Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. You are my Redeemer, my soon coming King, Jesus. Jesus, you said, Jesus, if you be lifted up from the earth, you would draw all men unto yourself. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Lord Jesus, you are my Lord, thank you, Jesus, 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 thank you, thank you. Thank you. If your head tries to nod no, catch it, stop it, make it nod yes. Yes. Your head is going to try to nod right to left no, stop it and make it say yes. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Yes, Jesus. 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 Come on. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 come on, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 proclaim his name, Jesus, 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 Jesus. This is how we fight our battle, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, surrounded by his love, this is how we fight our battles, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, come on, come on, come on, Jesus, you could do it, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
The word says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. That's how we fight our battles.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
What we're doing tonight.
This is how I fight my battles.
Just when you think you're lost.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles.
See you tomorrow, 10-9. Jesus, this is how we fight our battles.